live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 22nd day of October 2024. And this is the first live broadcast in weeks here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I think the last live show we did was a week before the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, which featured Dr. Joe Boot, founder and president of the Ezra Institute, which was an overwhelming success and blessing. I continue to get reports, praise reports from pastors who attended that event, just ecstatic over their whole experience, not only just being there and sharing fellowship, but also hearing Dr. Boot. And it was great to see how many men stuck around past the hour that we had advertised for the conclusion of the event to be involved in a Q&A, and there were a lot of good questions. A very mixed audience within evangelicalism, of course, from dispensational to amill to probably a minority of post-mill, which is the position that Dr. Boot takes. But it was just a really wonderful time together, and the video of that message by Dr. Boot is available on YouTube, and I have posted it on Facebook, and if you need a link for it, just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, and I'll send that out to you. But the reason for the delay in having a live show was because of the perfect storm, as they say, of several factors. Number one, the extremely busy schedule I had arranging for the free biannual pastor's luncheon with Dr. Boot, but also getting hit really big time once again with the coronavirus. And not only that, but even when the virus itself dissipated, I have still been left with some residual effects that are so debilitating that I've gone to the doctor, my brother in Christ, Dr. Joel Yeager of Heritage Family Health, one of the few physicians I trust, a man who stood against the mask mandates and still stands against taking the coronavirus vaccines and warns about them or warns against them. But I will keep you all updated on these test results. Hopefully my congestive heart failure has not returned, but some of the symptoms I'm experiencing are reminiscent of that very frightening time in my life having to deal with that. But today we have a returning guest, one of my closest friends and one of my favorite people on the planet Earth to interview, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and he is going to be discussing the election that we are all riveted to our TV screens and computers, trying to see what is developing about this. And if we have time, we may switch topics before the end of the program, perhaps even for the whole latter half of the show. But it's such an honor, Dr. White, that you have squeezed into your extremely busy schedule while you are traveling, you know, jumping on board here on Iron Trip and Zion Radio when you could be doing other better things. And I appreciate it more than you know.
Well, you know, Chris, I was going to say, I got up at 4:30 this morning to drive hundreds of miles through construction zones and everything else just to be on Iron Sharpens Iron, because look, it's sort of a rare thing in life to have the opportunity to be interviewed by Chris Arnson, who is well known. I mean, no one's going to argue with this, but you are without a question the best known Christian journalist and interviewer in all of central Pennsylvania.
In all of Cumberland County.
Cumberland County. There is no one walking around the Gettysburg battlefield today that could even hold a candle to you. And so, you know, that's why I got up at 4:30 in the morning, dodged semi-tractor trailers and the whole nine yards. And so here we are with Chris Arnson, and it's truly exciting to have this opportunity. By the way, you know, I make you laugh now, but I didn't when we first met. Well, I may have made you laugh, but it was sort of a laugh of derision. it's all your fault, because when we first met, I was a straight-laced, boring, dark tie wearing, Trinity hymnal singing Reformed Baptist. My first words to you were, how'd you get this number? And you persevered despite my cold shoulder initially. And I just think people should know that, you know, you started the process of breaking me down and making me what I am today, picking me up at the airport there in New York, and we went to dinner at a diner, I think. And that was scary enough as it was. But then to just really make it all work out real well, you then took me to a crack hotel and left me over.
Well, that crack hotel, which I did not know was a crack hotel, was highly recommended me by the owner of the Coral House, who at the time was actually a member of the church where I was a member.
From the people who stayed there too.
Yes, I have often wondered what kind of kickbacks he got from that place. But anyway, we better rush by that topic. Yes, Dr. White has developed a wonderful habit now that has even increased in his skill of encouraging me with wonderful words that energize me and give me confidence before a radio show like today. And he happens to look at me through the Microsoft Teams link, which you cannot see us, but we can see each other. And the very first thing out of his mouth is, "You're wearing an old man shirt." And I said, "Why is this an old man shirt?" He said, "Because you're wearing it and you're old."
Yep. Well, we're pretty much very close to the same age. So
yeah, you're a year behind me.
Yeah. Well, I think I've ridden 169,000 miles on a bike now, so I think that's probably put me ahead of you as far as wear on the old body is concerned. But you know, we were how old were we when we first started? That was 98. Yeah.
Yes. In fact, by the way, I hope that Pastor Claude Ramsey of Reformata Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, is listening, because he actually already submitted a question that you're answering. Would you and Dr. White care to talk about the formative years of your relationship together? I greatly appreciate both of your steadfast walks with the Lord and your faithfulness to the gospel. Well, we're doing that, Claude. I hope you're listening live right now.
Yeah, sort of in a humorous fashion, but we were a lot younger back then. I happened to see a picture that someone snapped of me and Mitch Pacwa at our first debate there on Long Island, and I hadn't shaved. You know, I didn't get rid of the last remnants off the dome until right after the Stravinskas debate. And, you know, if you look up Peter Stravinskas on the internet, that's the first thing that comes up these many decades later. That just must make him so unhappy. That's the first thing that pops up, but it is. And we were much, much younger. I had no idea what we were getting into. You were scared to death. Didn't really know where I was going to be coming from. You had put yourself out there to make all this happen. And
that was the very first debate I ever arranged, or any major event of any kind, where we were in a facility that held 500 people, which we filled. And that would be the Coral House. And it was quite an answer to prayer, because I've learned from these events, people can keep you waiting, and you can have less than half of the seats filled with 5 minutes before the show to begin, or before the event to begin. And sure enough, that place was jam-packed.
Yeah, you were a bit nervous about it, and I think you're a little bit nervous about how the debate was going to go. Right up until my prophecy was fulfilled.
That's right.
It was. I mean, you had asked me what I expected from Jerry Mattatix, and I told you, well, if he's like he's always been in the debates we've done before, and I don't remember how many we had done. We had done at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We'd probably done 5 or 6 by that time. Two of which, interestingly enough, I filled in for Dr. Greg Bonson, who was supposed to debate Jerry in Omaha, Nebraska. And Dr. Bonson asked me to take his place, which is why Dr. Bonson then had the ability to do the two debates he did on homosexuality, which were very valuable. So that was neat. But, I told you what I expected Jerry to say. I expected him to show up just before the debate was supposed to start, that he would be very disheveled. That he'd be talking about how all his books were still packed up after his last move, and all he'd had to eat today was a Diet Coke. I'm not sure you'd call that eating, but and that he felt like he was taking on, he was David taking on Goliath because I'm such a good debater. And you were looking at me fairly strangely when I was telling you all this. You were like, really? Okay, you know. And so, 5 minutes before the debate was supposed to start, in strides Jerry, and he's got his tattered books and his yellow pad of paper, and he's disheveled. And the first thing he does when he gets up, and I was watching you, you're in the back of the room, I can see. And he basically, I almost quoted it. I mean, everything I just said is what he said at the beginning of the debate. And the look on your face was just like,
I can remember when you were looking at me across a crowded room of hundreds of people, our eyes did lock as you saw my stunned reaction to this. And
basically, after that, you trusted me.
Yes, and I can't even remember how long after this occurred, but somehow I had a tape. Back then, I don't even know how many of our listeners know what a tape is, an audio cassette. But I'm in my office for WMCA Radio before I had Iron Sharpens Iron. And wanted to listen to something in the background while I was working. And I had this tape of a debate between Jerry Mattatix and Eric Svensson. And I said, I'll pop this in the cassette player. And I'm working away, and all of a sudden, Jerry's introduced. He ascends to the podium and says, by the way, folks, I feel like David fighting Goliath today as I am matched up with Eric Svensson, who is a formidable opponent. And Please forgive me for arriving a little late and looking a little out of breath and disheveled. I couldn't believe it. I said, does this man not know that these things are filmed and recorded? I mean, mind-boggling. Just like Ergun Kaner.
That's exactly what I was about to say. I'm not sure how many people even know who Ergun Kaner was, but he's still out there. Someone sent me a video of a church thing he spoke at just a few months ago, and he's still claiming to have been raised as a Muslim and all the rest of this kind of stuff. And it's sad, but yeah, that was always my thought with him was, doesn't he know he's gonna, you know, when you sit in front of a microphone, don't you know you're gonna get caught
making up Arabic?
Yeah, making up Arabic. Yeah. Yeah. Did it never cross his mind that there might be some Arabic speakers who have access to microphones too? I mean, who knows? But anyway, yeah. So it's been, coming up on, let's see, 98. We're over. Yeah, we're definitely over a quarter of a century of doing crazy, wild things like that. So I've got five grandchildren now, and the mom of those children came out of all those years and loved to hear your Long Island accent. And
wasn't just one of those years. She came, I think. It was not just one of those years. She came as a little kid when she would sit in the back seat of my car and say, Mr. Arnson, can you say coffee again? And I would just split her and Josh up, crack them up by saying coffee and chocolate. But also, she came out as an older teenager at the Huntington townhouse. I can't remember which. Yeah. I think it was the Peter Stravinsky's debate.
Well, yeah, and then she started going with she'd come to Tuscarora, and I don't know if you remember when Josh and her and I did the Matrix thing, where we did the same time you did Comedy Stuff. It wasn't the same year you did the Marty Luther stuff, but so we had a lot of that stuff, but you know, here you and I are sitting on the front porch in our rocking chairs. I'm missing out the old days, and everybody else is going, get to the top here. I keep like all the time, you know, beginning the dividing line, I'll talk about what's going on. It's like everybody's like, just get to the topic. We're crying out loud, you know. It's like, you know.
Well, thanks, Claude, for actually asking the question. And James began answering it before he even knew you asked it. And I do highly recommend Reformata Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Claude Ramsey is a superb preacher and also one of the most humble and gracious brothers in Christ I've ever met, especially in the pastorate, and that is not an exaggeration. And I hope to see you face-to-face again for fellowship at some point, Claude. Before we get into the topic, since, let's see how many questions I've got. One, two. We've got two more questions that have nothing to do. That have nothing to do.
Go ahead. Yeah, that's all right.
Okay, we have Alexander from Boca Raton, Florida. I still wasn't sure of the topic of today's show, but I'm hoping you could ask the question either way. I'm writing a polemics paper for Reformed Baptist Seminary. Dr. White's lectures for the class were very helpful, and I appreciated them a lot. My question to him is this: what are some good primary Catholic sources, either written or in video format, that explain the Eucharist in the Catholic Church as a representation of the sacrifice of the cross during their Mass? Also, for the other listeners, can you have Dr. White explain how this undermines the atonement of Jesus Christ?
Well, that's the topic of the debate next Saturday in Mobile, Alabama. I'm debating, you'll find this interesting, I'm debating my second ordained PCA minister who became a Roman Catholic. And you remember the first one. That was, in fact, Jerry Matatix. And so this fellow has become Roman Catholic. He works for the Archdiocese, for the Diocese of Birmingham, not Archdiocese, but anyway. And our specific topic that we'll be debating, this is the thesis. And this is the thesis he came up with. I didn't suggest he came up with it. Be it resolved, the true worship of God is nothing less than the self-offering of Christ, which is only offered in the Catholic liturgy. So that's a pretty bold statement. And in fact, I'll be honest with you, I don't think Francis believes that. Given the stuff he said recently, I don't think he believes that at all. And so that sort of addresses the question as asking for primary sources. Well, you can go from the Fourth Lateran Council, the Council of Trent. There's lots of stuff found in Denzinger's Enchiridion, which is a collection of official dogmatic teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, all the way through Vatican II. That is consistently presented at that point. But here's the point. Who gets to interpret that? Who gets to interpret what that means? Right now, you have the synod on synodality taking place and wrapping up. And what that has demonstrated is Francis wants a, how shall we say it, more inclusive kind of Roman Catholicism in the future. And who's the final authority? You know, you had Bob Sengenis on last year, I think, after I debated, or maybe earlier this year. See, we're so old, we don't remember anymore. But you had Bob Sengenis on, and years and years ago, Bob and I had crossed swords in email over something he heard me say, where I had presented a conflict between what John Paul II had said and what had been said by an earlier council or pope or something like that about religious freedom and stuff like that. And he was basically saying to me, well, who are you to pretend to interpret these things? Only the church can interpret these things. And once you buy that, then the church can say, oh, we've always interpreted this way, that way, whatever way we are doing it now. There's no more objective truth left to be able to hold Roman Catholicism to. So there isn't any question what the post-Reformation, counter-Reformation Jesuit theologians we're teaching about the sacrifice of the Mass. But if you allow popes over years and years and years to keep putting people into positions of leadership who are going to give you a different perspective on this thing, on these things, you can change the teaching of the church without ever having to come out and go, we're changing the teaching of the church. That's what's so problematic about you know, Roman Catholic authority claims, is that they can change it at any point in time. And I'm not sure how much that's going to come up in the debate next week or what. We'll see. My concern about the debate next Saturday, this coming Saturday, is that I've never heard this gentleman speak on anything. I asked, and he said he hadn't recorded anything on it. And so he can go back and listen to hours and hours of what I've said on the topic. I can't do that in preparation for him. And so that is a little uncomfortable for me.
And as far as how this undermines the biblical teaching of the atonement Christ provided on the cross, I can recall years ago, while setting up the debates that you do, someone who was a friend, I think. I can't even remember now for certain if it was a friend, but somebody who was not Reformed, who said to me, hey, why don't you ever get somebody that isn't a Calvinist to debate the Catholics in these debates that you're arranging? And I said, because there is a certain topic, there are certain topics specifically hinged to the divide between Rome and the Reformation, between Rome and the scriptures, that only a logically consistent, thoroughgoing Calvinist can properly answer. And this is one of those issues, I think, and also the whole issue of purgatory.
Yeah, especially I've said many times that majority of evangelicals, non-Reformed in particular, though these days I'm not sure how many Reformed people really know a whole lot about their own history, but or are consistent about it. But most evangelicals, their view of the atonement, their view of the cross, has been formed much more by hymns. And hey, there are some good hymns on the subject, but much more by hymnology and by tradition and by emotion than by a biblical examination of the issue. And the problem with that is the most important book to address the subject of the atonement is the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews is a closed book for a lot of modern Christians because Hebrews assumes a foundational knowledge in the Tanakh, the Torah, the Nevi'im, the Ketuvim, what we call the Hebrew Scriptures. And if you don't have that, then a lot of people are just left going, I've just never understood that book. It just seems so strange to me. And because it's constantly making references to passages from Leviticus. And look, most people try to read through the Bible. They make it through Exodus and then hit Leviticus and give up till next year. And so it's a bit of a problem. And to consistently respond to Rome's argumentation does require a thoroughly biblical doctrine of atonement. And in my opinion, the vast majority of evangelicals have never even been challenged to think through that particular subject. And so most of the evangelical responses to Roman Catholicism are not overly weighty. And the better Roman Catholic apologists can get around them and, in fact, can sort of anticipate them. They already have their answers ready and they can just go for it. So, and by the way, I don't mean by that say that all Catholic apologists are going to give overly weighty responses to our arguments. I think we saw a good illustration earlier this year when I attempted to do two debates with Jimmy Akin. And, you know, his response after I'd sit down would be, well, I'm not going to argue about words.
Yeah, right.
It's just like, what? What are you doing
here? Even his fellow Roman Catholic, Bob Sengenis, thought that was absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, well, you know, and say what you will about Bob, at least he would debate, you know. He wouldn't stand up there and say, well, I'm not going to respond to anything there. Because it's just, it was, yeah, it was amazing. So anyhow, yes, I hope that on Saturday I will have sufficient time to really give a clear presentation of what the Bible teaches about the atoning sacrifice of Christ, but got to recognize I'm not the one who gets to chart the direction we're going to go. He goes first. He's defending the thesis. We'll sort of see what type of emphasis he's gonna give. But it'll be interesting. I think that'll be 193 or 194. I've actually got to go look which one that is. I'm just hoping to live long enough to get to 200. And at that point, you know, maybe we'll just put me out to pasture. My mom used to use terms like just shoot me and give my body to the glue factory or something like that. It was a good bit Western, and so we'll see. It
reminds me of an episode of All in the Family when Archie said, "When I die, just wheel me out to the curb and put my hat on." But we're going to go to our first commercial break. And Kevin from Wading River, Long Island, we will get to you when we return. And then we hope to concentrate on the election that we are all anticipating. And if you have questions, we're not going to absolutely require that they be about the election, but we would prefer that the majority of them be about that. But obviously, Kevin, you've already sent in your question that has nothing to do with that. So we will ask your question. But send in your questions to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We are going to be right back with more.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's LYNbrookBaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of himself.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com will enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Thank you. Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureComm Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureComm provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And folks, as you know, Christmas will be here before you know it. If you want to purchase a beautiful, breathtaking piece of jewelry, whether it's something that they already have in stock at royaldiadem.com, or if it's going to be a one-of-a-kind custom design piece of jewelry, please purchase your jewelry from royaldiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because it's the only jewelry store in the world where we are going to get 100% of the profits from that sale if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And, of course, we would urge you to go to royaldiadem.com as soon as possible to at least start the ball rolling on your purchase, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this mind-blowing offer to us where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to our audience. So that's royaldiadem.com. Mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And by the way, in case I failed to mention this earlier, I owe a big shout out to my very dear longtime friend and brother in Christ, Eric Nielsen, the webmaster for Iron Trip and Zion Radio, for bailing me out once again as I feebly attempted to install a new soundboard for the Iron Trip and Zion Radio studio. I tried to do it on my own and could not do it, and that's no shock to anybody who knows me. And Eric was able to guide me over the phone, being in Illinois and me being in Pennsylvania, until it was successfully installed. And I want to thank Eric from the bottom of my heart for all he does. It's those guys like Eric who do the behind-the-scenes things that very rarely get any public accolades or definitely no addition to his income that warrant even more respect and praise from me whenever I can remember to do that. So thank you, Eric, for all you do for Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Okay, for those of you who just tuned in, our guest today is my dear friend, going back to 1996, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. And we are going to be shortly discussing the upcoming election. And if we have time, we're going to switch topics before the end of the show. But before we get to that topic, we promised Kevin from Wading River. By the way, James, Kevin is one of the original Whiteheads. I don't know if you remember a group that identified as the Whiteheads that used to get to the debates like 2 hours early so that they could get the front row. And they were always enthusiastic supporters of you in these debates. And Kevin was one of these self-identified Whiteheads from Long Island, a retired Suffolk County police officer, in fact, captain of Suffolk County Police. And I have known Kevin for many years and owe him a debt of gratitude for his being such a wonderful brother in Christ to me personally. But Kevin asks, unfortunately or surprisingly, it seems that hyper-preterism is gaining ground and being adopted by many former evangelicals who have been persuaded by the carefully crafted arguments and proof texts of the hyper-preterist apologists. They seem to persuade people of the truth of orthodox preterism, a.k.a. partial preterism, and then lead them down an interpretive trail that all prophecy is a time text related to 70 AD, including the second coming, general resurrection, and judgment. I say all of this for the sake of the listeners. I know you are already aware of this heresy and its danger. Maybe you can comment on your own knowledge and experience with hyperpreterism and hyperpreterists. How much is this a growing problem, and have you ever considered debating this issue?
Yeah. I know that Doug Wilson has addressed this a few times last year. There was some major conversations about it in regards to well-known names of individuals who have adopted that perspective as well. Asking if I'm going to do debates at eschatology is sort of like asking if Kamala Harris is going to do a number more in-depth interviews with people who ask her serious questions for the election. In fact, I just got a notification that she declined actually to go on Joe Rogan. Trump's going to go on, but she won't.
Wow.
Which, when I first heard that that was even being discussed, I was sort of like, I can't imagine Joe Rogan backing off. Brett Baer didn't back off, and Rogan wouldn't back off. And so I can't imagine that happening. And so it's not. So that's not surprising. Point being, I don't believe that I have the energy to become the expert on eschatology that I would have to engage this stuff. My fellow elder Jeff Durbin has done stuff on this.
I've actually interviewed him on the show on that very issue because he is a former hyperpreterist.
Right. So he, you know, there are people that do this a whole lot better than I would. So no, I would consider that. I don't know how big it's getting. I mean, there are some names of people that you could name that are going that direction. But I think most people recognize that once people go down that path, it becomes all consuming. Everything else just becomes sort of an ancillary sideshow. And that's one of the things that I think I would suggest to everybody. When you see people getting on to new things, does it consume them? Or can they maintain a balance in their teaching and in what they address, things like that? And when it comes to hyperpreterism, all of them that I've seen, you know, I get notes from them all the time. Like, you need to debate me. If you make any comment whatsoever about eschatology, or you criticize this perspective or that perspective, you know, it's got to be them. They have their own particular perspective, their own particular view. And I don't know that a lot of those guys actually get along real well with each other, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's definitely not monolithic at all.
No. There seems to be, you know, little fighting, infighting. When you've got that small of a group to begin with, you know, there's only so much of the pie that you can cut off for yourself. So, but no, I don't see it being a big, huge movement. But I'll be honest with you, I don't. Some people go looking for that kind of stuff, and I don't have the time to. I don't have the staff to. It's just me and Rich in the ministry, and I don't have the time to go looking for that kind of stuff. That's why I was so stunned, you know, 3 or 4 months ago, when all the Hitler wasn't all that bad of a guy. He was a Christian prince. The Jews are behind everything. Stuff started happening, and it's not that it started then. It's that I made a comment about it on the Dividing Line, and everybody and their second cousin started coming after me on Twitter, which is my primary social media platform where I actually talk and discuss things. And so I actually have felt pretty stupid. How could I miss this? It's not like this stuff just grows up overnight, even though, to be honest with you, a lot of this stuff right now has pretty much grown up since 2020. And for some people, that seems like a long time ago, but it really wasn't. And I think hyperpreterism and that side B Nazi stuff and everything else, I think it appeals to people that are looking for something new, something, you know, they feel like they've been lied to. They look around, the whole world seems to be falling apart, and the only way they can see how they fit into all this is if they glom onto some new, exciting, you know, we used to call them conspiracy theories, but fact of the matter is, you know, there are, we've discovered that we've been lied to so many times by the government and by people we trusted that it's pretty easy to get people to go almost any direction anymore. And so, you know, sometimes hyperpreterism becomes that thing, though I have seen a lot of people just burn out of that, just give up on it eventually. And I have a feeling a lot of the folks that are getting a hold of a lot of weird stuff right now will eventually just burn out on it, because it's not biblical. It doesn't have the spirit. So you're not going to have that ability to maintain it over time. And so, yeah, I mean, it does need to be preached against. But the problem is, you preach against one guy and this other guy says, oh, well, yeah, he's not the one. You need to look at this guy. And it can be difficult. You frequently have to be very general in what you're presenting.
And Kevin asked for resources that address this. I know of one good one by Keith Matheson of Ligonier Ministries, which is a volume he edited, When Shall These Things Be? A Reformed Response to Hyperpreterism. And there's a spectrum of eschatological views held by the opponents of hyperpreterism, so you don't have a completely unified partial preterist voice against hyperpreterism, but it's still an excellent book. Anything else you care to mention?
Well, and then you're going to have a bibliography there. That's generally how you do it, is you get a fairly recent source, and then you mine the bibliography, mine the footnotes. That's the best way to do it. There are others that have written books that, unfortunately, as I'm sitting here, that's not something I've been thinking about for a long time. So I'm thinking of names, but the names aren't coming to me. A lot of names don't come to me anymore, Bob. And so...
and
I'm thinking of one particular guy who was a former Frost, I think. Last name Frost?
Oh, yeah, Sam Frost. I hosted the debate between him and Don Preston on my show.
Right. Yeah, so there would be someone who would certainly know pretty much everything that's been published on that particular topic over the past 50 years, I think.
And, of course, I do love Sam Frost. He's a friend and brother, but he isn't any kind of a preterist now, so I would disagree with him on his objection even now to partial preterism. Sam Frost was a hyper-preterist and the right-hand man of Don Preston, which is one of the reasons I wanted to host the debate. But I think that Sam goes too far in his objections, which even rule out partial preterism. By the way, just quickly, because it's not going to be the main topic we're going to address, but have you adopted that as well in your theological journey? I know that many of our listeners may remember when you were an amillennialist, and assuming that you were not even a partial preterist at that time, have you also, in addition to becoming a postmillennial and theonomic reconstructionist, have you also adopted partial preterism?
Well, I'm not sure how you would be amill without some recognition of historical fulfillment of certain aspects of the Olivet discourse and stuff like that.
I happen to be amill, and I am a partial preterist. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, yeah, that's, you know, as was I. When I first started going to Apologia Church, I think, as I recall, in late 2018, when I first started going there, he had been preaching through Matthew for years and was in Matthew 23. So I was there for all of Matthew 24. So, you know, he just beat you down. you just give in, go, okay, fine. Could we get to Matthew 25? Oh, three more weeks. So, okay. You know, so that's how that works. But, no, I'll leave that stuff for the younger guys to fight about. I think if you start off early enough, you can have enough time to do that. But I'm starting at it too late, so I don't have the energy for it.
Well, we have to go to our midway break, folks. Please be patient with us. It's longer than the other breaks. Please send in your questions to chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcroft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Mattoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices, and now they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please remember, when you support solid-ground-books.com, you are supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and you're also going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books an enormous favor, because they publish old, rare, lost treasures of Christian literature, some of which that have been hiding beneath the rubble of time for centuries and unavailable to the church until they were rediscovered by solid-ground-books.com. And also books spanning through the centuries up until our modern era, including books by my guest today, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com, make your order, purchase generously, purchase frequently, mention Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Dr. White, I just want to remind you that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio really could use your financial support in a big way. If you love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a check, a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way from your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen where you can mail your checks to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we would appreciate that very much as well. So go to ironsharpensironradio.com. And click support, then click to donate now, and you will have also an address appear. If you want to advertise with us, and we are hoping and praying, and we hope you join us in praying, that there will be some new advertisers appearing on the show in the very near future. We are waiting for the final decisions of some ministries and organizations and churches that have approached me. They want to be a part of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, and they've received proposals, and I am now awaiting their decisions. So please pray that I hear good news very soon. But also, if you'd like to be an advertiser yourself, send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And please, never take money out of the funds that you have set aside to give to your own church, where you are a member, on the Lord's Day, in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with a gift. Only give to us if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to support church and family. And we would appreciate that very much. And also, I want to announce one of my favorite preachers, Dr. Hensworth Jonas. He is going to be preaching this Saturday and Sunday, October 26th and 27th, at Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And Dr. Hensworth Jonas is the pastor of Central Baptist Church of Antigua. And the theme is sanctification, living a life of worship. I do not exaggerate when I say that Dr. Jonas is one of the most powerful preachers I have ever heard on the planet Earth, rivaling my favorite preacher, Dr. Conrad Mbewe of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia. In fact, they are friends as well. But if you want more details on attending this conference with Dr. Hensworth Jonas this Saturday and Sunday in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, go to gracebfc for BibleFellowshipChurch.com /conference. That's gracebfc.com/conference. And we are now back with our guest today, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. If you do have a question about the election, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Dr. White, if you could tell us what's on your mind about this upcoming election.
Well, I think everyone, I would imagine the vast majority of believers who are concerned, aware of the possibilities of what could happen, are praying about this situation, have had to think through. Let's put this way. We've had to put a whole lot more thought into this election than I think any election we've ever had in the past. And I know when I first started voting as a teenager, as an 18-year-old, the difference between the two sides was not the difference between two countries. And yet that's pretty much where we are now, to be perfectly honest with you. I sometimes engage in conversation. I had someone come by my home, knock on the door a few days ago. And I walked away from that conversation realizing that we are a divided nation. And there are two nations within one set of borders. And one of the problems is we can't define what the borders are anymore. But and I don't know how long that can last. So I'll be perfectly honest with you. Someone very wise said a nation divided against itself, or a house divided against itself, cannot stand. And it's just inertia, I think, that's keeping us going. But the issues, there's been so much discussion theologically amongst good, solid Christians. There are good, solid Christians who, because of the change in the Republican platform, with the diminishment of any emphasis upon a pro-life position, with a diminishment of any emphasis upon a Christian view of marriage, are going, look, in 2010, I wouldn't have voted for the Democrats because they held these positions. Now the Republicans do too. So I can't possibly see how I could, in good conscience, vote for a party that is no longer holding the positions it once did. It does seem like the Republicans are just the Democrats in slow motion. And the idea of a serious worldview foundation for the Republicans seems to be completely lacking with almost all of them. There are a few exceptions, but in general. And the worldview being presented by Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and, I believe, the people in control of them, telling them what to say and when to say it, is very clear. And they are unashamed about promoting that worldview. You noticed just a few days ago, someone at a Harris campaign called out Jesus as Lord, and Kamala Harris goes off script and off teleprompter to say, you're at the wrong rally.
Yep.
Now, I can guarantee you that her handlers, if they had hair, didn't have hair after that, because they pulled it out by the bunches. But that's when you say the things that are really most representative of your worldview, is when you're speaking off the top of your head. And there's no question that her worldview, which again, I don't think her worldview is what would end up determining policy, because I don't believe that either her or Tim Walz would actually have any more day-to-day decision-making power than Joe Biden did for the past number of years. But the worldview of the left, and, you know, I've said this and people get upset with me, but I'm just like, could we talk about it for a second? The Marxist worldview, which is now very prevalent in our universities. Kamala Harris's father is an economist. He's still alive, and his writings are available. His positions are available, and he is deeply influenced by Karl Marx. He suggested many, many years ago in the context of economics, food price controls in Jamaica, which led to all sorts of problems, because it always does. It ends up in food shortages and everything else. Well, what was Kamala Harris talking about just a matter of a month and a half ago? Food price controls. Allegedly our grocery stores are gouging us. Well, they're not. They live on about a 1.5% profit margin. You want to know who's gouging us? Look at what almost any Apple product actually costs to produce and what they're selling it for, okay? There's about a 56% profit margin there. So if you want to talk about price gouging, you got to go someplace else. But the point is that what I'm seeing when it comes to worldview issues is one side's being rather open now with their worldview, and the supposed conservatives are embarrassed by taking any particular worldview position. The reason for this is quite simple, I think. Our younger generation has been thoroughly indoctrinated by the public indoctrination system. It's not an education system anymore. I'm sorry, it's not. You look at the NEA, and the KGB would be proud of the NEA. It's like all the three-letter groups like that. Talk about a union that has a very, very clear worldview to its perspectives. The national, the NEA, the teachers union, very, very much along those lines. And we're getting older. We're dying off. Now, don't get me wrong. I recognize that there is a demographic crash coming. Most people don't realize that. A lot of people in our generation are still sort of suffering from the, 1970s. You know, we're all going to be dead by the 1980s, and the Earth can't support more than 4 billion people, and all the rest of that kind of stuff. So we still have that in the back of our minds somewhere. But there is a demographic crash coming. I do realize that, and that will have to be taken into consideration, mainly by my children and my grandchildren. Not so much by me, I don't think, depending on how long I live. If I lived as long as my dad did, yeah, I will probably be having to look at it and deal with it. But you and I are going to be having wheelchair races about then. That's about as far as I got. But there, when I say a demographic crash, we are having so few children, and have so little concern about the future and about our culture in the future, that there is a demographic crash coming. Within 50 years, there will be no Japanese left. The Japanese reproduction rate, I think, has finally dropped below 1.0. I think it's down to like 0.95. And a culture cannot recover from that. That's why they're building all the robots, is there's not enough people to take care of their older people because they're not reproducing. And America, only a few years ago, was at 2.1. You need to be at 2.2 to continue at a certain level. We're now down to 1.6. And even that is due a lot to immigration. So Russia, real low ones. There is a demographic crash coming, and it's going to have a huge impact. And my hope and prayer is, okay, let's say that happens. And there is a complete reorganization of global alignments of power, military, economics, everything. Maybe that will be at the same time that we recognize that socialism, that communism, and that most importantly, secularism is a dead end. It's destructive. And we can never do that one again. And that's when we start looking for a reconstruction based upon meaningful principles that recognize that we live in God's world. And therefore, we need to treat each other the way that God told us to treat each other from the beginning. And, you know, maybe that's how it's all going to work. I don't know. This is not the kind of stuff you and I were thinking about. We had plenty of dinners at various Long Island diners over the years, and I don't remember any discussions about this stuff, because that really wasn't a part of much of what we were thinking about. So all of that to say that I've already voted. I had to, because I don't get back from this trip until 2 days after the election. And so I've already, to use the words of Dr. Gagnon, have you had Dr. Gagnon on?
You know, we have talked about it for years. He always says he would like to be on the show, and something typically comes up in his schedule that prevents him. So hopefully one of these days we'll be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, it, fascinating fellow. A brilliant scholar. He's been all across the theological spectrum so far on certain topics.
Yep.
He's not Reformed, right. Even though he was Presbyterian, he's not Reformed.
Which is not unusual, believe it or not, even amongst evangelicals in the PCUSA, which is a rare group to begin with. But they're not all Reformed at all.
Well, and he's not in the PCUSA anymore either.
Right.
So he went, I think he's, if I recall correctly, his new job is at a Wesleyan university. I could be wrong about that. But anyways, the point is, the language he is using is, we need to make a positive, we need to use our vote in a positive way to stop a basically Marxist worldview from ending freedom and liberty and any type of Christian influence within the United States. And so, you know, he's saying, look, and I would agree, personally, I'll just speak here personally. If someone wanted me to go off for a long period of time on things that bother me about Donald Trump, I could do that quite easily. And I was doing that back in 2015. To refer to him as a flawed candidate is an understatement. And hey, do I like the fact that he just made French fries at McDonald's? Sure, that was a cute photo op. You know, that's cool, good way to mock the other side and stuff like that. Has he done some stuff that you can go, man, that's really, I appreciate that, so on and so forth. Yes, but at the same time, there are clearly lots and lots and lots of problems that you could bring up in regards to Donald Trump. But when you look at the worldview that is being promoted on the left, it is the clearest negation of every positive teaching that Jesus gave us about mankind, how we're to relate to one another, that I've ever seen in an American election. You name the key issues in regards to human sexuality, marriage, male and female. These individuals want you to be able to be celebrated for murdering your unborn child from conception to the point of birth. I mean, they're pushing it. They will not accept any limitations. We have a ballot measure on the ballot in Arizona of Proposition 139, which will enshrine, like the Ohio measure, will enshrine abortion till birth as part of the Constitution of the state of Arizona. And Apologia has been fighting it tooth and nail from the beginning, but I have a feeling it's going to pass. Proposition 4 in Florida. But then, once a child somehow manages to survive the womb, then these folks want to give the state the right to take your children away and mutilate them, mutilate their bodies, mutilate their minds. It is astonishing when you really realize just how evil this perspective is, and how utterly contradictory to any kind of Christian understanding of mankind all this stuff really, really is. And so I wish I could wholeheartedly put my vote behind someone who I believe would promote Christian values and everything like that. But we're in a situation now, in my personal opinion, if Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are elected, and if the left captures at least one of the houses, whether the House of Representatives and Senate chambers, I guess is the right term, I don't expect to be talking about an election in 2028 in the way we can talk about it now. Now, I have lots and lots and lots of doubts about the integrity of even this election. But if 2024 goes to the left, I think in the future, any debate, any elections we're going to be talking about, we'll be talking about in the same way they talked about elections in the Soviet Union, China, North Korea, where it's, oh, there's an election, but everybody knows who's going to win it anyway, because it is plain beyond all contradiction that the left, look what they've done to California. They've made it a monoparty state. That's not a two-party state. There is no meaningful opposition in the state of California. They can do whatever they want. They have one-party rule. And that's what they want in the United States. That's why the borders are wide open. That's why they don't want any type of ID. I just checked into a stinking RV park. Okay. I'm sitting in a gravel RV slot with my RV. I'm sitting in the back of it right now. And I had to provide ID to get in here. But we can't have that for voting. It is astonishing the open mechanisms that are being used to completely subvert the Constitution of the United States and to finish this nation as having any meaningful role in the world. So I think Dr. Gagnon is right. For me, I have exercised my current right to vote, to make a positive vote against Marxism and against a worldview that is antithetical to Christianity in every possible way. And I'll admit, I'm a little bit selfish here. I'm a little bit selfish. I'd like to have another 4 years to continue traveling, to continue doing what I'm doing. I believe that one side will, you know, our, what are we, what's the national debt now? $36 trillion? Totally unsustainable. It's going to crash. It's going to burn. And be honest with you, I don't know that a Trump victory could change that. It may be too far gone. But at least on the level of being a Christian, I want to seek to say no to that entire worldview that is a negation of every positive thing that Jesus ever taught in regards to Matthew chapter 19, male and female, father and mother, children, family, all of it. I have to say no. I can only see one effective way of doing that. I can't see, if I put in a write-in candidate, I can't see how that's in effect, that's going to affect anything as far as stopping what is plainly an incredibly evil perspective and direction that we're going, that will have horrific impact upon my great-grandchildren and my great-great-grandchildren as well.
And, of course, the utterly insane arguments by professing Christians that are so appalled by the brutish behavior of Donald Trump that they are voting for Kamala Harris. That is, you know, like saying, I'm so disgusted by my church's lack of generosity to the poor in my community that I'm joining the Communist Party or something like that. That doesn't even make any sense that they would think that she is somehow superior, even in the areas where they criticize Trump.
Yeah, I have to admit, in lots of conversations with people, I am seeing a simple spirit of delusion in the United States right now. People that I have spoken to in years past, people I have spoken with at conferences. In 2010, I think it was, I spoke at a conference, if I recall, it was Toronto, Canada. I know it was in Canada, where I would never go anymore anyways, but I was speaking at a conference in Toronto on evangelizing Muslims with the Sabidi and the Agwili.
Oh, yeah.
And we got along fine. We got along great because why? Because we're talking about Islam. We're talking about reaching out to Muslims. And 2010 and 2024, wow, things have changed. And he has changed. And when I try to reason with him, it's like I'm talking to a different person than I knew in 2010. And so, yeah. You see a tremendous amount of that that just makes you go, what on earth is taking place? And it really started shifting in 2014. That's when divisions really, really started ramping up. And, you know, we could sit here and talk about what happened in 2018 and then 2020. And it's all, you know, come together to create this in situation where a lot of believers are going, what has happened to us? Why do we not have a united voice any longer? It's not that we ever had a super united voice in the first place, but at least evangelicals as a whole could come together and say, hey, transgenderism is such an obvious rebellion against the created order. It's an obvious rebellion against how God has made this world function. And now you don't even expect that. I just noticed this morning that Jamar Tisby, who was who graduated from Reformed Theological Seminary, and I had some back and forth with in years past, starting in 2016, you know, and I warned him, you seem to be going a direction that is extremely problematic. Well, he has, and now he's got pronouns in his bio. And you just go, and that's not the only thing, obviously, but he's working for people who are clearly very much a part of a extremely problematic and anti-Christian perspective. How did that happen? How does that happen so quickly? What happened to cause all this? And I'm, you know, you've heard me say it for decades, probably. A united, discerning church, theologically sound church, is a blessing on any nation. And if it is God's intention to judge a nation, then you can expect something like what we're seeing now. Not a united, discerning church, but a divided church, where seemingly we can divide over almost anything anymore, sadly. I honestly think that our prayer should be, Lord, give us the wisdom to continue to boldly speak your truth, even when we feel like we're about the only ones left. Because that may be what we're looking at for a period of time. I don't believe that's always going to be the way it is. But we live in a land with a lot of blood on its hands. And so God is perfectly just to bring his judgment.
I'm getting the impression that you believe that although Trump has greatly disappointed all Christians who truly love the unborn, who firmly stand against the murder of the unborn at any stage of development in the womb, those of us who actually feel betrayed by Trump, by his shift, not that he was always completely on the same page as an abolitionist, but a far more biblical approach, not that he was giving the Bible the credit for it, but just a far more closely resembling position to an abolitionist on abortion, to really just mimicking your average liberal's view that you don't like late-term abortion and that kind of a thing. But even though he has done this, that it is still a way to buy more time by bringing him into power in the White House, because of the utter insanity that also puts the very Church of Jesus Christ in greater peril, having somebody like Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in the White House. Our liberties and so on are going to be put in even greater peril, and the safety of our children in greater peril, and so on. I'm assuming that that's where you're coming from.
Yeah, that's the only. You know, and I'm not trying to bind someone else's conscience at that point, but I do want people to think about whether they are still functioning upon what it was like to vote in the year 2000 in comparison to 2024. This is not a situation we faced before. We did sort of face it in 2020. I'm very, very concerned about election irregularities and things like that. But we have not faced this type of fundamental repudiation of the Constitution, fundamental repudiation of the Christian worldview that gave rise to our liberties and things like that. We've never faced anything like that, like we are facing right now. And so to go, well, you know, if we keep voting for the Republicans, they'll just keep going that direction. That's not the point. I honestly, you're assuming that there are going to be three elections down the road where they learn their lesson and come back. You keep going this direction and there won't be three elections down the road to be worried about. And that's my concern, is that a lot of people are still looking back and going, this is just another election. Well, you know, there's one coming up in 2028 and then 2032 and blah, 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 blah. And just don't seem to realize just how radical these people actually are, just how dishonest. I mean, the amount of lying that that's right. I was watching the Vuelta a España. You know, I'm a big cycling fan, and so I was watching the Tour of Spain. And there were zero Republican advertisements during while I was watching them. The Democrats were all over it. And as I listened to these, I didn't want to listen, but I was forced to listen to these advertisements. I finally, you know, a couple of weeks in, said, I have not heard these people say one true word the entire time. The lies were astonishing. And you know, if these people's lips are moving, they're lying. And they're, the whole worldview does not have any problem whatsoever, because they don't have an objective foundation for even defining what truth is, first of all. And so we have to realize that that's where we are right now. And if you hide your head in the sand going, well, I'll think about it again in 2028, I'm telling you, it's not going to make any difference. It'll be too late at that point to even worry about it. So, yeah, I talk about holding your nose and talk about being very concerned. When I see people, Trump does have a cult of people around him. I don't think Kamala does. She's just not that likable. I'm sorry. Right. She's just not. But Trump, look, I am concerned about some of the people around him and the things that the mixing of Christianity with this weird stuff that's out there. You bet. Am I promoting that? Not in any way, shape, or form. I repudiate it. But at the same time, I've also got to say this, that man just walking in the Oval Office again can't fix everything. He may think he can, but he can't. And I have to wonder if so much damage has already been done that there's nothing much he can do about it, to be honest with you. But one other thing that has to be kept in mind, if the Republicans do not capture and hold the House, obviously they need both houses to get almost anything done, both chambers. But if the Democrats have the House, he'll be impeached three times in the first week. I mean, there will be, the only thing he'll be is a speed bump in the road, because they demonstrated last time they have no concerns about constitutionality, honesty, integrity, nothing. They will impeach him for parting his hair on their own side. They did it before. And they'll keep doing it again. I mean, it should worry all of us to see this lawfare that's been going on. The militarization. And I've never seen so much projection in my life than I have seen in this election. Kamala Harris is running around over there going, he's going to weaponize the Department of Justice. Just sitting here going, oh my goodness. How can anyone be taken in by this?
I know.
That's exactly what they are doing.
I know.
How can you not? I am left stuttering when I talk, especially to fellow Christians who can't see it.
Yeah, I want to pick up where you left off there, because we have to go to our final break. But don't go away, folks. We're going to be right back.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church of Lyndale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
And folks, please don't ever forget that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my friend Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure, it is absolutely essential, that you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco and Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Dr. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and you were mentioning the absurdity, the laughable, insane absurdity of how people could actually believe that Trump is guilty of something that Kamala Harris is so obviously and palpably, perhaps even more guilty of doing. It reminded me of these ads of former Trump voters who have now become Kamala Harris voters. And this guy says, what changed my mind about Donald Trump after voting for him was January 6th. He tried to take over our government. And I know that Kamala Harris and the Democrats would never do that. I mean, are you out of your mind? I didn't even know if this is something that's just scripted for this person who doesn't even believe what he's saying. But I mean, that is laughably insane. In fact, to a very great degree, they have taken over our government.
Yeah, I doubt most of these people believe what they're saying. They're probably paid actors. A lot of the people showing up at these rallies are paid actors. It's very obvious what they're doing. And anyone who has done almost any reading at all in how communism functioned in the Eastern Bloc, this is straight out of the playbook. It's the same old stuff. If you've read any Solzhenitsyn at all, basically, you're going, hey, wait a minute, we've already done this. We've been here, got the T-shirt, and it took us 70 years to get that shirt off our back. So, but the projection, you know, I've tried to teach people over the years, because I'm a debater. I do debates, obviously everybody knows that. And the cheap debating tricks that the less noble of my opponents will utilize are just on display everywhere. I mean, you could fire up MSNBC for 15 minutes and I could document for you in those 15 minutes pretty much every logical error of argumentation that would be covered in a meaningfully complete logic class. The projection is one of the best ways. When you have people who are mentally compromised, what do I mean by mentally compromised? What do I mean by mentally compromised? If you've read Thomas Sowell, if you read Solzhenitsyn, you already know all this stuff. But people who, instead of thinking, emote, they think with their emotions. Individuals like that are easily controlled. You can do that simply through the use of language. So you can make accusations. Those accusations can be absurd. They can be self-contradictory. It doesn't matter as long as it produces the requested emotional state that you want to produce in your audience. And, you know, my wife has a dear friend from back in high school. I knew this friend before I asked Kelly to marry me. And she has become very progressive, even though we all went to the same church. That church didn't give you much in the world of, in the way of worldview training. And it was just driving me nuts listening to my wife talking about the conversations she was having with someone who claims to be a Christian and yet has zero discernment in being able to recognize the category errors and the projection and all of the standard stuff that the left is using here. But hey, my point is the next generations have not been taught to think critically. They have been taught to confuse emotion with thought. And so to have any chance of even keeping up, the sad thing is Republicans are going to have to do the same thing more and more and more, which leads to a faster collapse and degradation of truth in our society. And I don't know if I'm going to see it. I have a feeling I probably will, right? Good enough time to, you know, shorten my lifespan anyways. But you put together the economic collapse, the demographic collapse, and the fact that secularism cannot build a culture. Ask the French, for crying out loud. The nation is committing suicide in front of the entire globe as it's watching. Secularism is a failed experiment because it is asking you to live in God's world in opposition to God's ways. It cannot function. You bring all of that together and there is going to be a massive change. And my hope and prayer is, all right, what's going to happen is there is such a huge global collapse and reorientation that the Spirit of God moves and the elect are drawn in and the people of the world look and see, we'll never do that again. We can't. We are creatures of God. We are not the secular ideal of a highly evolved blob of goo. We are created by God. We have to live in his ways. And will that be the post-millennial hope? Who knows? All I know is secularism cannot survive. And it's all going to come down. A nation that can't define its borders, can't define what a boy or a girl is, what for marriage is, that nation will not long exist in God's world. That's inevitable. So what's going to happen in the process? I'm not a prophet nor a son of a prophet, but one thing is for certain. We need to be teaching our children, our grandchildren. I'd like to live long enough to get to teach my great-grandchildren, which I could do. My oldest granddaughter will turn 15 in December. So I've got a shot if I don't do something stupid. And we need to be teaching them to be prepared to be the ones who will be that salt and light when it is most needed.
Amen. Well, obviously, we've ran out of time and are unable to switch topics. It's a topic, though. Even though I've already addressed this with Tobias Riebenschneider, and I hope that everybody listens to that interview I did with Tobias on this disturbing new trend that I only recently discovered existed, and that is the rise of anti-Semitism and admiration of Adolf Hitler amongst professedly reformed Christians, feeding into the slander that we have been receiving from some dispensationalist and messianic Jewish brethren for decades, because they've always accused us of being anti-Semites and so on. And this just feeds in.
There's going to be reason to be doing some programs in the future. There's stuff going on. I spent about half an hour on the phone with Tobias while driving yesterday. Things are being written. Groups are coming together. There's going to be developments. Keep your eyes open.
Yes, and I'd love to have you back on the show with Tobias to discuss this further. Well, folks, if you want more information about Dr. White, you probably already know this, but his website is aomin.org, aomin.org. Thank you so much, Dr. White, for being such a good friend and for taking valuable time out of your busy schedule to be on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio again.
It's been great to be with you. God bless. Hope you get feeling better.
And I hope everybody remembers for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.